Welcome to episode 503 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you weekly through our weekly podcast. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and George. Located almost 600 miles west of the coast of Ecuador, the Galapagos Islands are one of the few places on Earth that remain largely untouched and unchanged by man. With a population of about 30,000 living predominantly on three of the 127 volcanic islands, the volcanic archipelago is known for its contributions to Darwin's study of evolution. The flora and fauna of the island includes many species that are found only in the Galapagos, including marine iguanas, giant tortoises, and of course the blue-footed boobies.
Boobies!
See, we could just say boobies on the radio. Elizabeth recently had the chance to explore the Galapagos with celebrity cruises, and she is here tonight to share her experiences about the boobies!
Yay!
So let's get started. So tell us about this amazing trip.
Did you see a lot of boobies?
I mean, I did. I saw so many. And, you know, as funny as it is, it's still like that joke never got old the whole trip. But they are really, really amazing creatures. And I will say, hands down, this is probably the most life-changing experience I've had. It was a destination that when I first heard about the Galapagos, when I was like in elementary school, it seemed like it just was so far away and there was no, you know, no way that I would ever get there. And I was sad that I was never going to see these things. And one day I was there. I mean, it's just, you know, it sort of hits you that this, you are here in this place that is unique. There is nowhere else on it like it on Earth. It's so well preserved. So it's basically, it's part of Ecuador. And it is, a national park in Ecuador, and it is highly regulated. So only so many people can visit at a time. They very much control which ships go where, when. So you can't, you know, you won't usually have several ships in a port at the same time, which means that there are times where you literally feel like you are on a desert island. It's just your little group and the blue-footed boobies and the sea lions and the pelicans. And I can't even describe it. You'd say, well, I've been to a zoo. It's not like that at all. I've been on safari. It's even different from that. Safari is probably the closest that I could come to it because the animals there are somewhat used to people and you know, where you go on safari, usually they're somewhat protected depending on why you're going. But these animals are completely 100% protected. And so they have no fear of humans. You really do coexist with the animals on these islands. I didn't even know people lived on the Galapagos, so that was kind of a surprise. The history of the islands is very intriguing. They've been settled many times. Many different people have come there. Animals have been introduced: goats, cats, rats. Cows, you know, various animals were brought there by pirates, by settlers, by the Spanish. So there's various, there along the way, there have been influences on the island, but now the national park wants to keep all of those influences from happening ever again. So you literally, when you come off of the island, you have to scrub down your shoes because you don't want to, take something from one island to another island on the bottom of your shoes. That's how serious they are.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing. And it sounds like it's really difficult, but it actually isn't. It's been made very easy by anybody who's operating a ship there or any sort of tour company knows the rules, and they make it very easy for you to follow the rules. So the process itself, one thing that I came away with was how easy it was to make some changes to the way you do things that you actually could make in your day-to-day life that aren't very hard to do at all. But we always think, oh, it's so inconvenient. Oh, it's so difficult. You know, no plastics on the island is is astonishing. You know, you're used to people complaining that they have to bring their bags to the grocery store or whatever, that there's no plastics on the Galapagos at all. It's shocking how they've been able to control it. So that's just the beginning. What would you like to talk about next?
So how did you get there?
So there's various ways. You actually fly to the Galapagos. There's an airport on Baltra, one of the islands there. It's actually quite a nice modern airport and very sustainable, very green building, solar panels, all that stuff. It's a very small airport, obviously. You fly there from mainland Ecuador. We flew from Quito, but most flights go out of other places. We were on basically a chartered flight, we were able to leave from Quito. But there are other places in Ecuador that you can fly from. It's about 2 hours by plane from Quito. And the way Celebrity, I was with Celebrity Cruises on this trip. I can't speak for all the other suppliers, although I can speak for some of them because I've worked with them before. But in this case, Celebrity does an amazing job of packaging this so that you go to Quito for a couple of nights and get sort of acclimated. It gives a chance if you lose your luggage, Donna, it gives a chance for your luggage to catch up before you go to the Galapagos. Because obviously getting your luggage to the Galapagos would be challenging at best. So they like to, you know, have a day or two in Quito. Plus you get to see Quito, which is an amazing city actually with lots of history. You fly, and then there are some small hotels and properties that you can stay, in the Galapagos on some of those inhabited islands, but not very many. Most people do it by boat, whether it's anything from like a 16 passenger vessel, the Flora, the Celebrity Flora, which is a 100 passenger vessel and the largest vessel that operates in that area. I do believe there's one other ship, its sister ship, which is the Silver Sea ship, also carries 100, I believe. No, I'm wrong about that. I think it's only 50 passengers. So this is the only one that has the passes for 100 people to be on the island.
Pretty exclusive experience.
It is.
Were there 100 of you there on this trip?
There were 100 people on this trip.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. There were 100 people, and then the crew, of course. But yeah, so the ship, the Flora, has room for 100 passengers. There were 9 naturalists on board. You cannot go onto the island unless accompanied by a certified naturalist. They're all from Ecuador. Most of them are from the Galapagos proper. That's the other thing. You know, we talk about sustainability. We talk about you know, ways that you can really improve your footprint and you know, ways for the money that you spend in a place to stay in that place. Everyone on the ship everyone is from Ecuador. There were a few people who were from South America. I think we had our hotel manager was from Argentina, but almost everybody was from Ecuador. All the naturalists were from Ecuador because they have to be. And then what was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought. Sorry about that.
Everyone was from Ecuador.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. It'll come back to you.
And it was one of the places, there are some shops on the most populated island, and everything was made in Ecuador. Like, on the islands or on Ecuador, it was very hard to turn something over and find that it was made in China. Almost everything was locally made. So, you know, as far as sustainability and responsible tourism, you can't do much better, honestly.
Very good. So tell us a little bit about the islands themselves.
So there's only a few major islands. And of course, you're asking me a question that I didn't write bullet points on, so I'm having to go by memory here. But
you're talking about the outer loop and the inner loop and the southern island.
Yeah, so there's itineraries. Mean? Yeah. So the islands, there's islands that go around the outside of the main islands, and there's islands on the inside. So, and you can see sort of different animals and wildlife and even flora, depending on the route that you take. So the Celebrity Flora 1 week does the outer loop, and then the next week does the inner loop. So you could do a 14-night cruise and see different things and stop in different places. But I will say that I did the outer loop, and I don't feel like I missed anything. Like, I don't know that there was anything else I could have seen. I just would have seen more of it, which I would have welcomed. I never wanted to leave. And all of us who were on this trip together were very sad. You know, we're still talking on WhatsApp about how sad we are that there's no blue-footed boobies in our backyards. but there's also other cruise lines will do the southern islands or the northern islands. There are some islands that would be better if you wanted to see whales. Of course, there's also certain times where you would want to see them. There's better places to see sharks. If you want to go diving, there's better places to do that. So you would sort of pick your, you'd want to pick your itinerary based on what you really want to get out of it. If basically you don't have a big goal and other than I want to see the animals and I want to experience the Galapagos, then really any of those itineraries would probably make you happy.
Okay, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. So do all the, I mean, I know you went on Celebrity. Do all of the other lines do also do like an overnight in Quito usually?
No, I don't believe so. Okay. Sometimes you can add it. Sometimes they'll just do, most of the flights from the U.S. tend to land in the evening. So they may overnight in one of the airport hotels, which are very nice, by the way, but they don't take you into Quito proper. So it sort of depends on the experience that you want. I know one luxury supplier, you spend one night at the airport hotel, you know, you arrive, sleep, and then you fly out to Quito to the Galapagos the next day. So you don't actually get to spend time in Quito. You could always add something on to do that. I will say one drawback is Quito is the second highest capital city, I think, in the world, but definitely in South America. It's second to the capital of Bolivia. The name is just escaped my head, but it's like 9,000 feet elevation. So if you are susceptible to altitude sickness, anything like that, you have to be a little careful. We definitely felt it as soon as you land. I mean, you get off the plane and you're like, "Ooh,
you don't want to go for a run or anything."
Yeah, exactly. So in a way, it was kind of good to have that time to sort of recover a little bit. And like I said, Quito was very interesting. Ecuador itself has a lot to offer. The Amazon, there's parts of the Amazon in Ecuador. So there's lots of reasons to go to Ecuador anyway. So it definitely can be part of a larger trip. Celebrity also offers a post-cruise stay in Peru where you can go to Machu Picchu. So you can do all of that. You know, you can do that and then go on. There were about 18 people out of our 100 that went on to Peru from there.
Is this
so, yeah.
Was this your first time in South America?
Yes, unless you count. I was in Venezuela for one day on a Southern Caribbean cruise back before Venezuela became non-traversable. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, it was a stop on the cruise ship, and we basically got off the ship and went straight to a coffee plantation and then came straight back. Yeah, but I don't count that because I usually don't count it as visited until I sleep there. So, yeah.
Nice.
So tell us a little bit about like the daily grind, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a grind. I thought it would be, but so when you get there, when you get on board, you know, not really talking about the Quito part of it because we'll talk about Quito just briefly. While you're in Quito, you get a city tour, which was very interesting. And then you have lunch, which is included. This is an all-inclusive package with Celebrity. Everything is included. It's really, I mean, I didn't have to open my wallet once, except for when I wanted to buy a little souvenir. So drinks, food, everything is included. So your breakfast, lunch, and dinner on land also included. So we had lunch in Quito, and then they took us out to the equator. And so we got to stand on the equator and balance an egg on the equator and do the little sink thing. And they had a portable sink where they put it on the equator and the water goes straight down. And then they move it a yard to the north and the water spins this way. And they move it a yard to the south and the water spins the other way. It's pretty science nerdy stuff, I gotta say. So that was really cool. So that's what we did on our day in Quito. And I had dinner, then went to bed. They handle your luggage. Your luggage has to be inspected before you go to the Galapagos to make sure you don't have any seeds or anything that could in any way contaminate the life on Galapagos, things you wouldn't think of. So if you like to snack on you know, sunflower seeds, don't bring them. They'll be confiscated. So we had to bring our luggage down the night before, our checked bags, and those were inspected at the hotel. Most people who are flying to the Galapagos would have to have that inspection in the morning at the airport. But Celebrity has an arrangement where the inspectors come out to the hotel at like 6 a.m. and inspect your bags. So we had our checked bags packed and downstairs before we went to bed. And then we had our carry-ons with us. Carry-ons are then x-rayed and everything when you go through, but it's not the in-depth inspection that you go through for the checked bags. Also, having those charter flights made the airports just so much lovelier. You know, VIP service the whole way. So once you get on board, actually, somebody in our party, Robbie, you guys know Robbie, said it's like adult trick-or-treating. They give you a net bag, and you go from station to station. You get your flippers, you get your snorkel gear, you get your wetsuit. You have to try on your wetsuit. You put it in your bag, your little safety vest if you're not a very good snorkeler. So you get fitted for all that, and you hang it on a hanger with your suite number on it. You obviously have time to unpack and all that.
Can I stop you just for a second?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. wetsuit, that raises a flag for me. Do they have plus size wetsuits?
Yep. Okay. You're looking at your friend.
But you're at the equator. Is the water not warm?
No. The water is quite chilly.
Really? There's
the okay. part of what makes the Galapagos so special are the currents that flow around the islands, and some of them are cold water currents. So that's why you get orcas at times of the year. So yeah, there's certain.
Why didn't I see any wetsuit pictures of this whole group?
I'm just gonna let that sit there. Let you figure that out.
I didn't see anybody post one though. Oh,
they exist. So funny. But we swore each other to secrecy. By the way, our photo circle has 4,000 pictures in it. I'm not making that number up. It's just over 4,000 pictures. And yes, there are wetsuit pictures, and they will never see the light of day. Yes, plus sizes. I can even talk about that because as somebody who's not physically fit, I was really concerned about this trip and how I would do. And that actually enters into the daily schedule. So once you have all that done, you eat dinner. The next morning, the excursions start at, say, 8 or so. And they go over what your choices are for the next day. So you don't have to pre-book any excursions. And so they'll do a little presentation at cocktail hour that says, okay, we're going to land on this island. This is what it's known for. These are the things you're going to see. You can choose to do the short, easy walk, the long, easy walk, or the kayaking. Sometimes it would be the long walk with snorkeling or swimming optional or something like that. And so they talk about, is this going to be a difficult snorkel? Is this going to be a beginner snorkel? You know, what is the route going to be like for the snorkeling? And so they go over all of that with you. So then you basically sign up that night for what you want to do the next day. So usually there was a morning excursion. We would stop somewhere in the morning. So it's kind of river cruise like in this. Stop somewhere in the morning. Sometimes there would be two excursions, depending on what there was to do. So you would have an 8 o'clock and then a 10 o'clock. So you could do both of those things if you wanted to. Then we would be on the ship for lunch and we would sail to the next location while we're eating. And then the next round of excursions would be in the afternoon. Usually between 2 and 4 o'clock they would start. And again, they would have gone over the night before. Is this going to be a wet landing or a dry landing? You know, you're going to have to step out of the Zodiac into the water, or are you going to be able to step out onto like an old pier or an old stone jetty or whatever? Is it going to be difficult? Are you walking on uneven lava rocks? So if you don't have good joints, maybe you don't want to do this excursion. For me, I was able to do some of the easy walks. And then there was always, whenever the walks were considered more difficult, there was always a tender ride where they basically, you get on the Zodiac and they take you right up to the shore. And I saw everything. I saw sea lions. I saw blue. The only animal that I didn't see was the waved albatross because they were more inland. So you had to do a walk in order to see them. People in our group saw them, but because I didn't feel physically able to do those walks, I didn't get to see the waved albatross in person. I just got to see people's pictures of it. But I saw pelicans, I saw penguins, I actually liked the Zodiac rides because I love the water animals. The marine iguanas are fascinating. They're like little Godzillas. They're so cool. And so to me, that was better than doing the walks, you know? So I did feel like it's not, if you have a lot of mobility issues, this is not a good trip for you. But there was somebody there who used a footed cane to walk. He would do the Zodiac rides. He was, as long as you can get on and off the Zodiac without, you know, a great deal of assistance, then you can do this trip. But again, the earlier you go, the better. Don't put this trip off because you will enjoy it so much more. I really wish I had done it when I was in my 20s and was an excellent snorkeler because I would have been able to swim with penguins. I didn't get to do that. You know, other people did get to swim with penguins, right?
How hard was it though? Was it just that you felt like you might not be able to do it, or do you just...
Yeah, they're long. It's long snorkels without the ability to stand. Like there's nowhere to rest, so you have to be able to swim the whole time. Mm-hmm. And there's some pretty strong currents, so you have to also be able to fight the current. So I just didn't feel like I aerobically was up to the challenge.
Do they give you a life vest, or are you just free swimming?
You can choose a safety vest as well. But I also, as much as I do like a good safety vest, I don't like snorkeling with one because it tends to sit up at your face. And so it's kind of hard, you know, you're already dealing with the mask. And they suggest that you don't use the full face masks because sometimes they can cause you to panic. And because you're not in a place where you can stand up and easily take it off, there have been some accidents with them. So there were people on our trip who had them, but they just highly recommend that you don't.
So they mean you by them. That you mean like a separate mask and snorkel,
a full face mask where you the full. Have you seen those? It's a new thing where it's a full coverage, and so the snorkel is built into the mask. So a lot of people really like those. Likewise, if you need prescription glasses, like I do, it's a good investment to buy a prescription mask so that you don't have to deal with glasses and you can see the penguins. I'll tell you what, when a blue-footed booby hits the water, when you're in the water, it's like being shot at in the water. They are really, really fast divers. So it is, it's like torpedoes coming down beside you. They probably won't hit you, probably. sharp beaks. Yeah. So basically, you know, you have two stops each day, pretty much. We did sail by a couple of islands that you're not allowed to stop on. And we talked about that. We could see where, you know, volcanoes had collapsed and, you know, built these islands. So it was full of sciencey goodness. They sailed us by the islands where Darwin's team spent a lot of time. So really interesting. And I will say, I'm not a bird watcher, but I was fascinated by the birds. You know, once you can really see them up close because they're not afraid of you, mm-hmm. it's very fun to watch birds. You know, it's really cool.
I haven't heard you say anything about like giant tortoises, but I feel like I see pictures of that when I think of the Galapagos. Did you see anything like that?
Yeah, the last island we saw them. So the tortoises were actually eaten by whalers, a lot of them. So there used to be 14 different species of them. They were very tasty, apparently. Now there's only 10 species. They were hoping that they could save an 11th one. There's a very famous tortoise, Lonely George. They tried to get him to breed, and he didn't work. So he ended up dying a few years ago. He was the last of his species, particular species. But the giant tortoises are amazing animals. We really only saw them the last day, but we saw them in the wild. And we also went to the Darwin Center where they are breeding them. And so we got to see little baby ones, and they had them at different ages. So you could see how big they get. They're amazing. Land tortoises are so different from the, you know, snapping turtles I have in my lake out here behind my house. They're just like these big elephant feet, and their necks are very snake-like. They're just so cool. I don't know how many times I can say that. It was amazing. And of course, as we're driving to where the tortoises are, there are tortoise crossing signs. So where we have deer crossing signs, they have little tortoises. Yeah. Yeah. I just cannot explain to you what it's like to walk among animals that are just cool with you. Like, they're like, hey, what's up? You know, they won't necessarily come up to you. I did get bitten by a sea lion, but they won't just come up to you. Yeah, it was... So they tell you to stay 6 feet away from the animals, and they say, especially the sea lions, because they will bite. And I'm like, yes, I will stay 6 feet. It's really tempting because they'll lay on their backs like dogs and you just want to go up and scratch their bellies. But I follow the rules. This is something about me. We all know I follow the rules. So when you go to the airport, you're tender from the ship. with your carry-on bag and everything. And then you get off the tender, you grab your carry-on bag, and you have to go up a little ramp, and then you get on a bus that takes you like 5 minutes to the airport. Well, there are sea lions on this, like they're sunning themselves on this pier where you stop. And there was one sea lion who was like stretched out, and his nose was maybe 4 inches from the bottom of the ramp that I had to go up. So I had to sort of step over him or like scooch right by his face to get, so I was trying very hard, but I mean, I could not stay 6 feet from him. I would have been in the water. Okay. So I tried to step over him, and he just reached up and put his little, like a dog will do, like mouthing you, not really mm-hmm. biting down, but mouthing you. And I snatched my foot away really fast, and everybody freaked out. And Robbie was like, please tell me he didn't break the skin. I don't want to do the paperwork. I'm like, no, he didn't break the skin. I'm good. I said, I may never wash this leg again because I got bitten by a sea lion.
Oh my God.
But yeah, but he didn't bear down. I'm sure if I had not moved, I might have lost my leg. But yeah, it was.
So they made you go first? Fast.
I was actually like third. Yeah. I was actually third, but see, that's the thing. They can move.
Yeah.
And they really try not to do anything to interfere with them unless they have to. So basically once he bit me, they started like clapping, and everybody on the Zodiac was clapping, and he sort of, you know, it sort of, yeah. I won't say it scared him, but it made him go, and he sort of moved away from
them. I'm leaving.
Yeah. I don't like it. So. But it's, I mean, I don't care. I got bit by a sea lion. I don't need that leg.
I remember we had a tour guide, I want to say in Sitka, Alaska, who told us she was scared of the seals and the sea lions because one chased her like down the dock. She told us like how mean. I'm like, whoa. Yeah.
The first place they take us is this beach that's just covered with sea lions, and you can see them fighting for territory because they're territorial. Mm-hmm. And I think they do that so that you know that they're, mm-hmm. they may be cute.
Don't go hug
when they're
them.
Sleeping, but don't go. Yeah. Like, yeah. like hippos. Yeah. You don't want any of that. Yeah. Cool. So, nice. Super cool though.
That's cool. Did you do the dining option under the stars and glamping?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Yes, I did.
I saw and pictures.
Yes, it was amazing. I can't believe you guys didn't see the pictures. So there's two things that you can do on the floor. One is dining under the stars, which is basically outdoor dining, but it's a special menu. The food was excellent. So we did that one night. Then Leah and I glamped. And I will say it's a king bed. So you get two cabanas. One has a table in it and the other one has a bed in it. And it is glamping. So, you know, sheets, blankets, pillows, you know, very soft. The mattress is pretty firm actually. And it's a wood cabana covered with a canvas, like a tent would be. So the experience starts with your dinner. You get a 4-course dinner, I believe, and wine, and you know, like, and it's around sunset, so you're basically able to watch the sunset. And then you go put your pajamas on. Well, I guess you could eat in your pajamas if you wanted to, but we went and put our pajamas on. You come back up, and you get in the bed, and they close up the tent. They have this big zipper and thing that. So it closes it up so that you're shielded from the wind. There is a zipper in it that you can get out, but I didn't know where it was. And I woke up in the middle of the night and had to pee, and it was an issue. So yeah, eventually Leah woke up and she knew where it was, and I was able to, it was okay. So it was almost a miserable experience, but you can see the stars. Cause even though you have canvas over your head, you're looking out this way. You're on the top deck and you're looking out. So you can see the sky, the clouds, the birds flying by, the ocean whooshing where you're sleeping. Wow. And the night we did it, we actually went over the equator twice because we were going around an island that the equator runs through. So we went up and then down across the equator. We did not feel a bump, but that was the joke. You know, you'll feel a bump in the middle of the night.
Wait, this was on the ship?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like on an island or something.
No, you're not allowed to camp on the island.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's as close as you can get. And it was... I slept like a baby, except for that, you know, one time that I had to get up in the middle, but then I went right back to sleep. And then they bring you breakfast in the morning, at your little table. So amazing. I would have done it every night. Guess how much that experience, it is an additional cost. Just guess how much it is for two people.
I already know, so I'm not going to answer. Cause Leah told me.
Sandy just guessed it. just off the top of you think that that is only $300?
Well, I don't know.
It is. It what? Is only $300.
Okay.
Yeah. An overwater cabana for the day at Coco Key is $2,000.
Yeah. So I know.
You get to spend a whole night. Yeah. It was dreamy. And this is the girl who doesn't camp. So.
Okay. I'm going to have to go look for these pictures again because I didn't realize it was on a ship. I did see a picture that Leah posted, but yeah. Okay.
Yep. It's on a ship. Yeah.
So how many people can do this on any given night?
There are two sets of cabanas. So basically four.
Okay.
But here's the other thing that was surprising. The night that Leah and I did it, the other one was empty. Nobody else did it.
Okay. That's interesting.
I literally would have done it every night had I known that it was. I wouldn't have wanted to hog it. But if I had known that, you know. Interesting. It isn't the most. I mean, it is nice to, like, be in your room and, you know, be able to brush your teeth and everything. But it was 100% fantastic. And honestly, this ship is very small. So we did. We went down. We brushed our teeth. We got in our pajamas. You know, you get ready for bed. It's not like it's very far away. You don't have to walk, you know, miles across a huge ship. These are, you know, small vessels. Mm-hmm. So the flora was in the service was excellent. You know, a low ratio staff to passengers. It's just an upgraded experience. So it's exactly the way I want to rough it. You know, if I'm going to see something, you know, that's really deep in nature, I'd love to do it from a really nice luxury ship. You know, I don't mind trekking around. I don't mind, you know, the adventure side of it, but I want a soft landing. And I don't know how everybody doesn't want to do this. It was life changing.
What about, kids? Do they have like an
so age they don't yeah they don't allow anyone under the age of 8.
Okay.
And there aren't very many kids who do it anyway, but I will say that if you're thinking about taking your kids, I would absolutely encourage it, but your children need to have very good impulse control. See sea lion bite. You know, if your kids can't keep their hands off of the animals, if they don't know how to control that urge, then it's not going to be a good place for them. You will actually, I mean, you can get find large amounts of money. You could be sent home. So you want to make sure that your children are ready for an experience like this. So I would say generally a little bit older, definitely a little bit more wise to science and, you know, knowing what it is that they're seeing and what's special about it. You know, the sea lions are one thing. You've seen sea lions before. You know, these are Galapagos sea lions, but they look kind of like any other sea lion. You know, to me, who's not very sciencey, but then the things like the marine iguanas and, you know, the blue-footed boobies that they can't see anywhere else, that's something that you want to make sure they're ready to keep in their memory banks. So.
See, I'd want to see them below the water level.
That's the diver.
Yeah. The diver. Yeah. So the snorkeling is very good, but then, and I will say Celebrity doesn't do diving, but you can do a day trip from the last stop. There's a lot of dive outfitters there. And there were people on our ship who were divers who used those diving companies that day to go diving. If you are a diver, I would almost suggest doing it with a diving outfitter because some of the best diving are on some of the northernmost islands, Darwin and Wolf. Those are a little bit harder to get to from the big island in one day. So, you know, you would want to maybe do something with a ship that is outfitted for diving.
Gotcha. Good to know.
Yeah.
Yep. So any last parting words, Elizabeth?
Do it. And if you are questioning whether or not this ship truly is sustainable, really practices what they preach, Celebrity as a whole has been, working toward a much lower, carbon footprint, but they do give you, upon arrival, a water bottle, so you can refill it. They have refilling stations everywhere, encourage you to do it, including one in your room with potable water in your room. Nice. So, so you can, there's absolutely no reason for you to have plastic. They don't let you bring plastic onto the island. The only exception, they will let you bring Ziploc bags because they know you can reuse them and take them with you, but you do need to make sure you take them with you. The food that they serve on board is local to Ecuador. Most, you know, they can't source all of it from the Galapagos because obviously there's only so much that the Galapagos can produce, and it's restricted onto, you know, where it can go. But Ecuador as a whole has lots of microclimates and can grow all kinds of food. So it is probably the most sustainable trip I've ever been on. To be fair, I don't normally do, you know, sustainable isn't my thing. It's Sandy's. But I did come home definitely thinking a lot more about how I could live my life better as far as sustainability goes. And it's not something I don't care about. I've always cared about it. But there are some things I just don't think about as being, you know, A, changeable and B, dangerous for the earth. So
I think the plastic is the biggest, you know.
It is.
Just stop using all the plastic. Yeah.
It is. And I think we use plastic in ways that we don't even think about it. I mean, we're just so used to it that we don't even see it sometimes. Yep. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely something for the whole family to do.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate-ish, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we'd love to hear from you. So, on behalf of Sandy, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.